unheardnerd.com.
Are you there, John?
I'm here.
That means it must be time for another movie podcast. To the Unheard Nerd movie podcast. I'm Will, and this is John.
Hello everyone.
And we are raring to go for another podcast. What have you watched lately, John?
I finally got to see The Hobbit.
The Hobbit. And how many days did that take?
I think it's under one day. It might be just the one evening, actually.
One evening?
Yeah.
Wow. You obviously got the limited cut. The director's cut, of course, will take 3 weeks to watch. How did you find The Hobbit?
Me and the missus enjoyed it. Just loved it. It's just like, you know, slipping back into comfortable shoes again.
Right, when you say comfortable, I mean, for you, comfortable. But for me, very uncomfortable after watching The Lord of the Rings. And they're so long. It just takes so long. And there's like trees and they walk a lot. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. It's a walking movie.
It is really. It's from point A to point B, isn't it?
Needs cars or motorbikes or, you know, jet bikes.
Oh, the jet bikes from Battlestar Galactica 1980.
Those all do, yeah. Yeah,
they have those.
Look like motorbikes, but they can fly. Wow. So, all right, so The Hobbit, I mean, your overall impressions, you really enjoyed it, I expect.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. Despite its running time, we didn't notice that was the time when we were watching it. We got to the end, and because obviously it's been split into three parts, we got to the end and it leaves you hanging. You're like, oh, when's the next one? December, bollocks.
December, it is this year. Well, I'll come back to The Hobbit later in our listener feedback. They might not all be listeners, but hopefully they'll listen to this. Twitter followers, perhaps, is a better explanation of that.
That sounds better.
But yeah, I'll come back to The Hobbit on that because we got some feedback on that. Have you watched anything else?
I watched Men in Black 3 again.
Okay.
Got that cheap on Blu-ray.
Is that any good?
We really like that. It's much better than 2.
Right.
I think 2 is really bad.
I don't really remember 2. I did enjoy 1. I have seen 2. I don't really remember it. I haven't seen 3 yet, so maybe I should put that on my love film list. I really think Love Film should start fucking sponsoring us now. I am actually going to email them and say, look, we mention you probably 10, 20 times every week. How about a little bit of sponsorship or advertising?
See free discs, Church Old Way.
Well, I suppose, yeah. I mean, already subscribe, but but it wouldn't be a bad thing if they could do that. It'd be nice to the Love Film podcast. They probably have one already. I have watched a few films, John, and I've been to the...
What have you been watching, Will?
Well, I've been to the cinema again. I'm making quite a habit of going to the cinema at the moment. And for once, it wasn't a kid's film I went to see.
Ooh, intriguing.
Yes, I went to see Trance. Is it Danny Boyle film?
Danny Boyle, yes.
Post the Olympic opening ceremony, which he obviously famously produced or put together. I went and saw his sort of let his hair down film, Trance, which stars not going to be The Crow, apparently, James McAvoy. Rosario Dawson, who fans of Clerks 2 will remember for her bosoms, if nothing else. and some other guy, I can't remember his name. But yeah, quite enjoyed that. The missus and I took the kids up to Stockport to visit some family, which is near Manchester, for people who are not familiar with British geography. Got one night where the people we were staying with, my wife's aunt and uncle, said, well, you know, the kids are asleep, we'll look after them, you go out and have some fun. So we went into Manchester, we went to the cinema, went to the Cineworld, which is the most hard to find and most obviously placed in open ground cinema ever. I mean, it's literally a huge building, as multiplex cinemas are, in the middle of Manchester, surrounded by 1,000 car park spaces and a railway station, and yet we could not find it for a good 10 minutes. We're literally driving around it, going, where is it? I stopped and asked people, do you know where the cinema is? And they were like, oh, it's supposed to be here, but I don't know. And we were outside of it. So I will say, Cineworld Manchester, for fuck's sake, get some signage on your fucking cinema. Because we could not find it, and we were almost late for the film. When we got in there, obviously it was overpriced, but the cinema was pleasant enough. I've never been to a Cineworld before, but it was quite nice. The seats were uncomfortable, I'd say that. You wouldn't want to sit there and watch The Hobbit. Definitely wouldn't. You know, you'd need strong ass cheeks to sustain that level of commitment. But Trance itself was a pretty good film. It was all right. I'm going to describe it as Inception light. And when I say light, I mean very light. As in, it deals with Rosario Dawson being a hypnotist, and she is trying to get into the James McAvoy character's mind, because he has been working within an auction house for fine art for some time. He gets involved with a group of people, and they formulate a plan or a plot to steal an expensive piece of art, which they attempt to do, but he gets hit on the head during the heist and loses his memory. And so he is the one who's apparently got this painting, or they suspect has got the painting, but he cannot remember where it is or what happened. And so she has to get into his mind. But in a sort of Inception way, she is more heavily involved than you first realise, and embeds certain triggers in his mind that she can activate at a later time. So, as in, you know, Inception goes down level after level after level of the mind. This isn't quite so deep, but it's along those lines. That's a very loose description of it. But very enjoyable, quite a good pace to it, quite, you know, violent, but yeah, enjoyable. I enjoyed that. It's good film, worth renting if not going to the cinema. I don't know if it's still in. It is still in the box office top 10, but no, it's just outside the top 10 at 11. But worth going to see, I think.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I like James McAvoy. It's always easy to watch.
Well, I'm not a massive fan of James McAvoy. I've watched Last King of Scotland. I've got that on DVD. It's still in its cellophane, but I've seen it elsewhere. It was a gift from a friend who I'd literally watched it about a week before he bought it for me, and then, you know, didn't open it, so... It's still in cellophane, but I've got that to watch again at some point. I'm trying to think what else I've seen him in. Wanted.
Yes.
Which is a great film.
That is.
Which is that Angelina Jolie as well?
That's right, yeah. And yeah. Guy's name who's just left my head. Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, that's right. So, yes, I enjoyed Wanted. I've seen three films with him in, and I've enjoyed them all, but I'm still not convinced as an actor. Something about him I find a little bit annoying. I don't know what it is, but so I enjoy his films, just don't enjoy him. I also got round to watching, as you noticed on Twitter last night, I watched Dread last night.
Yes. I was kind of waiting for your response on that one.
All right, yeah, sorry, it was a bit late, and I think we went to...
That's all right, I wasn't pushing you for it. It's just I'll keep checking Twitter sort of and see what the outcome is.
Well, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It was quite graphic in its violence, which, as is always the way, I watched it with my wife. And she's not particularly comfortable with that sort of, you know, graphic violence, but she was okay with it. She was all right with this one. She described it as a video game, basically, which I can kind of see.
I can see where she's coming from.
Bit of a first-person shooter feel to it. But as they did really well. I can see, you know, obviously it was a fairly low-budget film. Was it 50 million, under 50 million?
It's sort of 40 to 50, around that area, yeah. Filmed in South Africa.
And so I can see why it was low-budget. I mean, they contained it within the block. You know, it kept the budget down. It was really, I thought the storyline for the Anderson character was almost more interesting than the Dredd character. You know, she certainly had a lot more personality, and the story almost revolved around her more than around Dredd, which I found interesting. But then he's kind of a monosyllabic kind of character, so I guess it's not surprising.
Yeah.
But I did really enjoy it. There are holes you can pick in it. Easily, you know, when they're out, why the hell didn't they wait until they got back up, and why the hell did they take their, you know, suspect back into the building after they've already got out? You know, why couldn't they hold him up somewhere and then go back in themselves? I don't know. I mean, you can pick holes in it, but on the whole, I really, really enjoyed it. It pisses all over the Sylvester Stallone version. from a great height. So yeah, there's that.
I've got lots of love for it. I think I've watched it 2 or 3 times already this year.
Yeah, I could easily watch it again. It's not very long, about an hour and a half, I think.
Yeah.
It's like War of the Worlds, the Tom Cruise one. It's a film I could just watch over and over because it's not long, but you do spot something new every time, and it does keep your interest. There's enough different things going on to keep your interest each time you watch it. So I can see, I think if I don't buy it, it's one I'll rent again or watch when it's on TV. I did enjoy it. And true to my word, I have bought my first Blu-ray. Obviously, all my rentals now are Blu-rays, but I bought it, and I don't suppose you remember what I said I would buy. The pool says it all.
No, I can't remember, sorry.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I bought it on Blu-ray. I got it for the pricely sum of £5.
Bargain.
Which I think is a bargain, yeah. I could have gone for a slightly higher, level of packaging, but I chose just to go with the regular Blu-ray because it's the film I'm interested in.
Have you been shopping in CEX by any chance?
No, it was from the now awful play.com.
Right.
Used to be very good, and my main source of DVDs, music, or whatever I would buy.
Yeah.
I think I actually bought my TV through them because it was on offer, but I've really gone off them lately because in terms of if you order the same product through Amazon and Play, the Amazon one will be with you within a couple of days. The Play one will take a week.
Because, Play don't actually hold their own stock anymore.
Do they not? Is it all sorted elsewhere?
The Amazon Marketplace?
Yeah.
That's basically what Play is now.
Well, I knew they were moving that way, but I didn't know they'd gone fully that way.
Oh, right. I think they're sort of heading that way. They're sort of clearing out their old stock, and then once it's gone.
Yeah.
That's the impression I got when I last read, some information on them.
I think you're right. Yeah, I haven't found anything sold directly by Play for quite some time. But then I haven't really shopped on there. As I say, it's gone a lot downhill since I think Ratuking or whatever the company is.
That's the company that's brought them out, isn't it?
Took them over, yeah. But ho hum, never mind. I did order it through Play, and it didn't take that long to arrive. And so yeah, I now proudly own my first Blu-ray, which is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which I haven't watched yet. I mean, I've seen the film, but I haven't watched the Blu-ray yet.
Yeah.
So keeping up with modern times, only about 5 years late.
That's right.
Right, so that's ramblings, that's the introduction. What have we got in the terms of news this week, John?
Well, once again, trawled the net looking for news, and I've broken it down into three rough sections. We've got original movies.
Ooh, I like this, yeah.
Then we've got remakes, which I think should be called our usual shitting on your youth.
Okay.
And even shitting on our parents' youth, because some of them are older than us.
All right.
And then we've got a few sequel prequels at the end.
Okay. I like this. I like the segments. What are we going to start with? We're going to start with OG.
Yep. Original films. We all remember the brilliant classic comedy The Pacifier, starring Vin Diesel.
Yeah. No.
No.
What's that?
I don't know what The Pacifier is about, so I can go skip that one on purpose. Anyway, Vin Diesel's getting back with the director to do another action comedy called The Machine.
That sounds good.
Does it? Diesel will star as a human-like machine created in secrecy by the Pentagon as the world's first true ultimate weapon before the project was decommissioned and buried. 2 decades later, the machine is discovered by a kid who befriends him. When the government discovers he has been reactivated, the machine steps up to protect the family harbouring him.
Well, that just sounds like a load of other films chopped up and put together. I'm thinking, was it Radio Flyer, was it, with... Oh, God, no. What was it called? The one with Mel Gibson, where he's frozen in crisis.
Oh.
In stasis, yeah. Or whatever it is. He wasn't a robot, obviously, but he was part of an experiment and woken by kids playing years later in a military warehouse. Fairly similar.
For some reason, it reminds me of The Iron Giant as well.
I get that. I guess that's the machine type thing. I can't think what other films it reminds me of, but it does just sound like an amalgamation of other films.
It does. It's under the heading original, but it just doesn't sound very original.
I mean, Vin Diesel's pretty much taken over from Schwarzenegger in terms of not very eloquent, stiff performance in an action hero role. might do the occasional kids film.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair?
I look forward to seeing him in the next Pitch Black.
Right, okay. I mean, I was going to say, that's when he's not making Fast and Furious films, for which...
Yes.
They're already planning number 7. 6 hasn't even hit the fucking cinemas yet.
I mean, it's planning for next year as well.
It's
almost like, old Electronic Arts and the FIFA franchise. Let's chuck one out once a year.
Well, I guess it's very easy. I mean, there must be fairly low budget and, you just get a bunch of cars, chase them around for half an hour and then have a very loose plot that involves some kind of crime and some kind of police and throw in some tits and arse, and that's about it.
Oh, some shots of gear changes as well, don't forget them.
10 gear changes for every car. And Michelle Rodriguez in a wife beater.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, let's not forget that. She was missing for a while, but she's back. Alright, The Machine. I have no enthusiasm for that whatsoever.
No.
Not selling it.
I expect we'll link the trailer, but it probably looked rubbish.
yeah, it would give people the opportunity to give it a thumbs up or thumbs down. Maybe we should do that. We should introduce that to the website. We should have a little thumbs up, thumbs down thing for trailers. I could do that.
Yeah.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
That's my mission then. I shall do that. Listeners, hold me to that. What's next?
Tag Brothers. A comedy movie based on a real life occurrence. It's possibly a vehicle for Jack Black and Will Ferrell.
Oh, right, okay. You say possibly?
Possibly, yeah. They haven't actually officially signed up yet.
Okay.
But they're the ones being offered it. It's about a bunch of guys in Spokane who have a long-running game of tag. They've been doing it for years, and now in their 40s, and they still play it. And apparently it stretches across the country.
Well, that sounds quite fun.
I mean, rather just than running around a playground, it's got to the point where they're now breaking into each other's homes and workplaces to tag their friends.
That does sound funny. Yeah, I didn't know what to think when you first said the title, but actually... That sounds quite funny. I can imagine that's the kind of thing somebody would do somewhere. You have your friends that you've known forever, and you would have these stupid little games. But that sounds fun. I'm quite looking forward to that. I can see Jack Black and Will Ferrell working well together.
Yeah.
But who would be the bigger actor on that? There's always got to be a hierarchy in films. There's always got to be one person at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
That you have two high profile sort of slapstick comedian stars like that. Are they gonna cancel each other out in some way? I don't know.
But when you say Jack Black and Will Ferrell, in my mind, Will Ferrell is the one that comes out on top.
I think
not in terms of acting ability, but I just think Will Ferrell has the bigger
status.
The bigger status. Yeah.
I think that's true now. If you dialed it back maybe 5 years, it would have been the other way around. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Anchorman and any number of other films since then. Jack Black's sort of gone a little bit quieter, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think, what was the last film? I think the last film I saw him in, I actually went to the cinema to see this as well, was Nacho Libre.
Oh, yeah, I remember trying to watch that. I didn't make it all the way through.
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, I probably wouldn't have if I hadn't paid, to go to see it at the cinema on a rare excursion out. Yeah, I didn't like that very much. But yeah, he hasn't. I saw what was the one where they remade Ghostbusters? Oh, Be Kind Rewind.
Yeah,
yeah, I saw that again. I wasn't particularly impressed with that. I didn't think that was particularly funny either.
I didn't make it all the way through that one either.
Yeah.
I think it was the fact that the trailer seemed to promise something that wasn't there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the trailer was much better than the film.
Yeah.
But what was the last Will Ferrell film you watched?
Oh God.
I can't think.
He seems to make a lot of them, but only a few of them seem to be really good.
I'm thinking, let's think of his film. Obviously, we've seen Anchorman.
Classic.
Anchorman 2 is coming soon.
Yeah.
I saw, is it Talladega Nights, which was a NASCAR one?
I tried watching Talladega Nights, but I couldn't get into that one either.
No, that was a bit shit. Again, I saw that at the cinema. Fucking, what's wrong with me? I know what's wrong with me. I went with my nephews on that one. They wanted to go and see it, so I took them. Shocking.
I love the, I can't remember it's called now, the ice skating one.
Oh, right, Blaze of Glory?
Yeah, we like that one, that's very fun.
That is the last film I saw with him in, I saw that on TV. That's the last film I saw him in. I think my favourite Will Ferrell films are, obviously Anchorman is just classic, and I really fear for this sequel, but I think they can pull it off. And the other film I like him in, which is a bit of a, it's not a guilty pleasure, but it's not a massively well-known film, but I always really laugh at it for one scene in particular, is Old School, Have you seen that?
I've never seen it at the cinema. I don't actually remember much about it, apart from, is it just three older men doing lots of college partying or something?
Well, yeah, one of them breaks up with his wife or his fiance, and he ends up living on a college campus, but just within the boundaries. And there's some clause, I mean, they love it, obviously, because they're surrounded by young girls and they can party all the time. But then the college come up with this thing, and it's like, because they're on the campus, they can't live there, but they can get out of it on a technicality if they start a fraternity.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so that's exactly what they do. They start a fraternity, and much comedy ensues. But the bit that really makes me laugh about this film, and I don't think it's a spoiler in particular, is one of them's getting married at the beginning, and they have a wedding singer at the reception. And this guy, it's really subtle in the background, but he's singing Total Eclipse of the Heart, a Bonnie Tyler track. But in the background, he's singing, and he's changing the words, and he's putting expletives into it. So he's going, I fucking need you more than ever. And you hear it at first, but it doesn't really compute. And then it gets more and more, and the guests started looking at each other. It's just a really classic moment. I love that moment in that film, and I love that film. I just find that really funny. It's a bit childish slapstick comedy, but I really find that funny.
Yeah.
So yes, okay, so there's that. But way off topic, Tag Brothers. Sounds quite funny. I can see that working.
Yeah.
I'll give that a thumbs up.
Applying it to the podcast as well.
Well, why not? Why not? Yeah, let's do that. Whereas The Machine, thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Okay. Anything more to add on Tag Brothers?
No, that's Tag Brothers.
Okay, you're it. What's next?
Moving on, film news, but Heroes might be coming back. Did you watch Heroes?
Yeah, I did. I did watch Heroes. I've got this thing about Heroes that I watched every episode from start to finish, and I still cannot remember how it ends. And I don't remember it ever ending. It just sort of stopped. I don't remember a conclusion, and I've spoken to several people about this.
Yeah.
And no one can tell me how it ends.
You'd have to speak to my missus. She watched them. I watched it to the end of season one.
Yeah.
And for some reason I couldn't get into season two, but she stuck with it and she watched it through to the end.
I enjoyed it. I mean, there were moments where it had, you know, lows, and there were moments where it was high, but
yeah,
it, towards the end, it really was like, oh, we don't really know where we're going with this. And there was this whole carnival thing, and
doesn't the cheerleader jump off something in front of everyone to show that they're still around or something? Like that?
I cannot remember. I really don't know. But yeah, it really got a bit wayward. And yeah, like I said, I can't remember how it ended at all. Although our sponsors, Love Film, have every episode available on Love Film Instant.
That's handy.
Yes. So maybe I'll give that another go. It's unlikely because I don't have time, but
yeah.
I might.
Series to get through.
I've got good intentions. I've got season one on DVD, but no, we didn't buy any.
Snaps, have I? Yeah, same here.
Yeah, we watched. We did have them all. We recorded them all. We did have them all recorded, but yeah, it's after a year. So are we going to watch Heroes all the way through again? No, that's like 20% of our storage space. Let's just get rid of it. So Heroes might be coming back. Is there any other news on that? Any details? Any what started this rumour?
It might be coming back as a series for original content for the Xbox.
Oh, really? Just on Xbox?
Just on Xbox.
Oh, well, I won't be watching that then, obviously.
No, that rules out both of us.
Yeah, I'd love to have an Xbox, but again, I don't have time to play it. What would be the point?
No, apparently if it's successful, it would have new characters and probably cameos from some of the original cast.
Right.
Funnily enough, Microsoft hired ex-NBC development executive called Jada Miranda earlier in the year to oversee new Xbox original content, so that may be why Heroes is coming back.
Right. Well, that's weird. I saw that as a headline, but I didn't read the story. I just thought, yeah, that was it. Heroes might be coming back, and assumed it would be on TV as it was before. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it sounds a bit like a reboot, doesn't it? With
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be the same story necessarily, but it would be like a spin-off, I suppose. But I don't know, it doesn't seem worth doing. If I can't remember the conclusion to the actual series, what's going to inspire me to watch that?
I can't. Exactly. I mean, it's going to be a reboot to entice first-time viewers, isn't it?
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's got there has to be a new starting point.
And when the old people turn up, obviously new viewers would be like, "Who's that?" And all the old fans would be like, "Hey, he's back!"
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see it's working, actually.
I mean, there were rumours a while ago that they would make a Heroes film, which I could see working. Or at the time, I could see working, because it would have been a natural progression from the series. They could have done a nice big film that sort of wrapped everything up and you know, contently, but nothing materialised of that. And I think all the actors now have gone on to far bigger and better things. You think, you know, Zachary Quinto is now Spock, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is it Hayden Panettiere? Or Panettiere?
Yeah, what's she doing these days?
Well, she's in some shitty teen movie, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think she's going to play a teenager in movies forever.
Oh, okay.
Even when she's like 50. She's like Tara Reid or something. Which is a shame, because I think she showed a lot of potential and she could have moved on to much bigger things, but she doesn't seem to have done that.
No.
I don't understand.
Heroes was her moment.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Another one I thought would make it a bit bigger is the guy that played Peter Petrelli, sort of main character.
Oh, yeah. I found him a bit whiny and annoying.
He was a bit, but I thought he had what it took to be in like a Twilight or something like that.
Yeah.
And, but again, seemed to disappear and not really do much. As many of them did, actually. Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, okay, that's Heroes. I'm going to give that a thumbs down.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very promising. In the sort of Heroes comic book theme, something that's just, I remember, has just come online literally before we started recording.
Ooh, fresh off the press.
A rather pathetic rumour, if true, it's been revealed how Agent Coulson will appear in the new S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series.
All right, okay. Is this spoiler alert?
This is, if true, this is a big spoiler alert, even though it'd be the fucking worst spoiler I've heard.
Right,
it's so lame.
Well, if listeners, if you don't want to hear spoilers, then skip forward, let's say 2 minutes. Good luck. And if you do want to hear them, you could very well be very disappointed. John, you have the stage.
Okay, Samuel L. Jackson, Agent Nick Fury, reveals that Agent Coulson's death was faked to make the Avengers get together and work as a team. Mm. But it doesn't work, because Thor saw him die. Why would Loki work with Nick Fury to fake his death, etc.?
It's a lot of potholes in that.
Yes, I can't believe that Joss Whedon's written something as lame as that.
I'm not sure why they'd go for that, when it could easily be resolved just by saying it was a dream. It was all a dream. The Avengers, you dreamed it all. None of that really happened.
It's all an alternate universe, and we're not in that one, we're in this universe.
Yeah, this is Earth 5 or something. That is a bit lame.
If true, that is incredibly lame.
Yeah.
It's got no the site that's reported it hasn't got any sort of, what do you call it, a reputable source to back it up or anything. So
right, okay,
that's why it's a bit. You sure?
Could be bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, what other alternatives would there be? Cloning, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
The fact that he actually has a superpower and he was able to come back, a little bit of invincibility or something.
That's an interesting take. I like that one.
Unlikely, but it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm drawing a blank, I don't know.
Because that's the whole point of S.H.I.E.L.D., isn't it? The fact that they're all just regular people.
That's right, yeah. And yeah, I don't know. That seems a strange move.
Perhaps we'll find out later in the year, when no doubt it turns up on the telly.
Indeed. Probably about 5 months after the US. I don't know, it'll probably be on Sky, won't it?
Yeah, they'll pick it up. It's got to. So
I'll get it about 5 months after everyone else. Because I don't have Sky TV, I don't have satellite or cable. Just regular terrestrial Freeview TV for me. Never mind.
Oh well.
Ho hum. Anything else in the originals?
Do you know of Ratchet and Clank?
I've heard of Ratchet and Clank. I can't say I know what Ratchet and Clank is.
It's quite a big series of games on the old PlayStation. Several games. I think it's crossed between PlayStation 2 and 3, I think.
Okay.
It's going to get turned into an animated movie for 2015.
Oh, right. Okay. Do you know who's making that?
No. Well, I've got some names, but I reckon
it's not like Disney or something.
No, No, Rainmaker Entertainment and Blockade Entertainment are teaming up to make a 3D animated film of Ratchet and Clank. Ratchet is a Lombax, the last of his kind, and a foolhardy adventurer. Clank is a pint-sized robot with more brains than brawn. The two unlikely heroes struggle to save their galaxy. Okay. If you play the games, that all makes sense to you, but for me, it doesn't really mean anything. But it's... apparently, the games have sold over 26 million copies worldwide, so it looks like there's an audience for it.
Okay, I've just googled a picture of them, and nope, I don't recognise them at all. But then I'm not much of a gamer, so that's not surprising, really. Yeah, okay, Ratchet and Clank. I'm giving it a thumbs hovering
thumbs
in
middle.
Yeah. What would you call that?
Horizontal thumb?
Yeah, I just give it a meh.
Meh.
Yeah, not bothered by that one.
No, fans of the game need apply.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Well, I mean, if you are a fan of it and you're looking forward to that, let us know. Give us some feedback. Oh, that leads me on to our Twitter accounts. I'm the Unheard Nerd on Twitter, and John is at UK Film Nerd. You can send us any old crap, but please not porn and spat. Well, not spam anyway. Right, anything else in the OG section?
Yep, a film called Lucy.
Lucy, okay. I've heard a little bit about this. Go on.
Going to be starring Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, that's all I've heard. I've known nothing else. It's a sci-fi film, though, isn't it?
Yes, it's been directed by Luc Besson, who's probably most famous for The Fifth Element and that film with the assassin and the little
Leon
girl. Leon, that's the one, yeah.
That's a good film. Both good films, actually. Leon, it was Natalie Portman in that, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, Leon was really good, enjoyed that. And Fifth Element is good fun as well. A bit
love
weird.
Fifth Element, that's a great film.
A bit weird in places, but...
Gary Oldman's brilliant in that.
Yeah, I mean, Gary Oldman's brilliant in everything. he is really.
True, true.
Can't think of a bad film with him in. Good, okay, so do we know anything about the plot? Any storylines?
Yes, Lucy is a drug mule. She accidentally absorbs the drug she's smuggling. Which makes her basically into a superhero. She can retain knowledge immediately, doesn't feel pain, and also gains telekinetic abilities.
Well, there you go, kids. Drugs do have a benefit.
And look, as long as it's the right drugs.
Apparently so. Okay, I wasn't expecting that at all. she's a drugs mule. Oh, my God. What kind of bleak film is this going to be? But she becomes a superhero. Oh, good. Hooray.
Hooray.
So that was a roller coaster. I was down, I was up, but I don't know what to think. That sounds interesting. I'm not a big fan of Scarlett Johansson, I have to be honest.
Apart from her work in The Avengers, I don't really know, I'm not really aware of what else she does.
Oh, come on, you must have seen Lost in Translation.
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, John. Really?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's like 2 hours of wondering what the fuck's going on and when the film's starting.
Do I need to watch that then? Because that hasn't sold it to me.
Probably not the best selling point. No, it's interesting to watch. It is slow paced.
Is Bill Murray in there somewhere as well?
He is. Well, he's the lead character.
Oh, okay.
Him and her have a thing. But it's an odd relationship. And they're in Japan. I think they were both a bit homesick. And yeah, it's worth a watch. Worth a watch if you ever get a spare second. And it's lying around, which is unlikely. So you'll probably never see it. But if you're inclined to, have a look. It's worth watching. Other than that, yeah, I can't really. She was in some. The girl with the pearl earring.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. I wasn't a big fan of that one.
Doesn't sound like my kind of film, that one.
I think that was the wife's pick. Okay, do you find her attractive? Because I'm going to say right now, I don't. I know there's a lot of disagreement, especially online, about this, but I just don't find her particularly attractive. And she's supposed to be this beautiful woman.
I quite like her as Black Widow.
Okay.
The missus, whenever she turns up in the Avengers, because she's wearing those tight black trousers, the missus always shouts out, "Look at my ass! Look at my ass!"
Well, that's just an invitation. That sounds great. Okay, well, all right. Scarlett Johansson. And she's going to be Lucy. Cool. Anything more on that?
Nope, that's the end of that one. Quick mention. Apparently, they've just started shooting a film called Birdman, starring Naomi Watts and Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton sounds perfect for the role, because when you read it, it says a washed-up actor who once played an iconic superhero must overcome his ego and family troubles as he prepares to mount a Broadway play in a bid to reclaim past glory. I mean, what interesting is that description, and Michael Keaton just...
Yeah, well, it's like, play yourself.
Yeah.
Have a ball, this is written for you. Okay, I mean, bird, bat, I mean, there might be... Birdman, Batman.
Possibly a sort of Batman, not a Batman ripoff, a sort of
tongue-in-cheek look at parody of sorts.
Non-copyright infringing.
Exactly, yeah.
Hugo Weaving has reprised his role as Agent Smith for a TV commercial.
Oh, yes, I saw this as well.
Did you see that? Yeah, for...
I didn't see the advert. Well, was it in New Zealand or somewhere? South Africa or something?
I think it's Australia, maybe. It's for a software company called GE that makes software for hospitals.
Okay.
Perhaps you should put the link up with the podcast notes. It's a brilliant commercial because it looks like it's been filmed the day after The Matrix. They got the colouring right, the special effects are great, it's funny. It's got a nice little sort of joke at the end as well, which made me laugh.
Okay, I'll check that out. Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes so people can see.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the originals over with. What we've got coming up later in the show is remakes, or as John and I like to call it, shitting on our youth. And then a little bit later on, we've got sequels and prequels. Before that, we've got some feedback from some Twitter followers or Twitterers. Earlier on in the day, John, you posed a question on Twitter.
I did.
Which was, what films are people looking forward to this year? I've retweeted that millions of times and put it on Facebook, and we've got some feedback, which is
excellent,
which is nice. Nice to hear, nice to get. Thank you very much. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do. I am the Unheard Nerd on Twitter, and John is UK Film Nerd. We don't bite. Please do get in touch, and you normally get a response from me, at least. I don't know about you, John. I don't know how often you check your Twitter.
Fairly big. Well, yeah, daily.
Daily.
Oh, wow. More than that. 2 hourly, bi-hourly, 3 hourly.
You check it.
It's I do.
Semi-regularly. Fair enough.
That sounds awful, doesn't it?
Occasionally.
Once a week. Takes a while to get through all.
Okay, so what we've had, and I've promised shout-outs, anybody that gives us feedback on the shows, you get a shout-out. And if you've got a project you want to promote, let us know, and we'll give that a shout-out too. So we've got, in order that they... came in, really, a friend of the show, somebody who's actually possibly doing some work for the Unheard Nerd. I don't know whether it's going to come off or not, but there's an interview he's lining up. I'm not going to give any spoilers, and even John doesn't know about this, but this person is acting as an agent for the Unheard Nerd and trying to seek out an interview. It was his idea. He came to me. He needed an outlet for this project, and I agreed to put it up. If it comes to fruition, it may not. But it's on Twitter. His handle is @TheScoobyDoom. Doom with an M at the end there. He's a big Scooby-Doo fan, as you may have gathered. And what he's looking forward to this year is Iron Man 3, first and foremost, and then Thor 2. I like the way that people... Yeah, we asked what film people are looking forward to, and people have given us a little bit of a hierarchy, a little bit of an order... of what they want to see first and what they want to see second. And no one's gone as far as third. I will do a bit later on. So Iron Man 3 first, which is, of course, out in the UK right now. We got it first.
Hey, man, last night was the first official night, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yeah. And I know at least there's a rapper over from Philadelphia at the moment, Random, who I'm going to go and see on Sunday. Perform in London. He's playing on Saturday, which by the time this podcast comes out will probably be in the past, but just in case. Saturday the 27th at the Hootenanny in London, and then on the 28th at the Book Club in Shoreditch. So I'll be there, and it's going to be a bit of a nerdcore fest because I think Canadian rapper Ghetto Socks is joining me, our UK nerdcore rapper and producer Milk Plus is joining me, and we're going to meet up with Random and his producer Kay Murdoch. So that should be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's cool because it's a gaming disco as well at the book club. So because Random, aka Mega Ran, is a huge Mega Man fan, they're theming the night around Mega Man. But what they do is they go there, they play music, and they have video games, retro video games for you to play, which
awesome.
sounds awesome. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a good night. So some nerdcore rap, some video gaming, and hanging out with some dudes from around the world. Should be fun. So yeah, Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 for Scooby-Doo. Have you seen the Thor 2 trailer, John?
I have indeed, yes.
Greenwich gets a right kick in, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Poor old London gets kicked again.
It's strange because we take the kids to Greenwich Park a lot, and we have a walk around that part, which is, it's like, I don't know if it's naval buildings or old, it's like museums now, but yeah. It's the old naval buildings, I think. And it's quite weird because I have probably stood on the spots that are in that trailer. and just watching it getting wiped out is quite weird. I actually watched the Jubilee flotilla go past from that spot in Greenwich. A little bit of trivia for people. Okay, at WJELKS, that's J-E-L-K-S, and I want people to follow all these people, that's the point of the shout-out, so follow these back. So at WJELKS, he is looking forward to, and God, this man's got stamina, The Hobbit Part 2, first and foremost, and then Star Trek Into Darkness, second. That's his picks. I was surprised by that. I didn't realise that The Hobbit is Hobbit Part 2 is actually out this year, but you confirmed it earlier in the show. It's out in December.
Yeah.
So that's quite accurate. Well done. Though I replied back saying I didn't have the 3 weeks required to watch Part 1, so I'm just not gonna do it. At Jacko, J-A-C-C-O, he only had one choice. He's just looking forward to Star Trek Into Darkness. And I'm really looking forward to that. We've already got our tickets pretty much booked for that. We are going to go to our favourite cinema, the Greenwich Picture House in London, near where Thor is going to kick ass. And we're going to watch it on, I think, 2 days after it comes out. It comes out on a Thursday, which is the 9th. We're going to go and see it on the Saturday. So I'm going to get quite an early showing of that. So yeah, Star Trek Into Darkness, that's all he wants to see. As does our nerdcore rapper friend Alpha Riff. He's interested in Star Trek Into Darkness as well. He says it's the film he wishes he could have made. On the side, he's a bit of a sci-fi script writer and filmmaker, so a man of many talents. He's going to appear on the Unheard Nerd Music podcast as a guest at the beginning of May, so tune in for that and find out all about Alpha Riff, and we'll find out a little bit about his films as well. Then there's the guy whose name is really hard to say. I think it's either D. Hommel or Dommel. It's D-H-O-M-A-L on Twitter. He's really looking forward to a film that's actually already out, at least here, Oblivion. Tom Cruise film. So, but yeah, you know, fair enough, I haven't seen it. He hasn't seen it either yet, but that's what he's really looking forward to this year. And he has asked me to talk about a project that's on the go. And I don't know anything about this, and I think you don't either, John. It's a documentary on Dr. Demento. It's a Kickstarter campaign to fund this documentary. Now, on Kickstarter, it's kickstarter.com/projects/smogberrytrees. That's S-M-O-G-B-E-R-R-Y trees. And it's called Under the Smogberry Trees, The True Story of Dr. Demento. Now, currently, the project has only 7 days to go. Fuck, I hope I get this podcast out in time. I should be able to. It's already got 548 backers. They're looking for a goal of $100,000 to make this documentary. They've got 43,881, so it really needs some help. You get different things for different pledges. You get, for $1, happy birthday to Dr. Demento. Anyone that pledges the amount for $1 or more within the first 24 hours of the project, you get their names handwritten on a birthday card. It's probably too late. $3 gets you exclusive production blog. $5, a digital thank you. You should get a greeting by Meep Warp Studio and sent to you in an email. And there's all different, different levels of funding. They're all very reasonably priced. $20, $20, $20, $25, $25, $30, $30, $30. Goes up and up and up. Bloody hell, up to $100, $200, $250, $500. Sound like an auctioneer. It goes all the way up to $5,000. And one backer has already paid that. It's limited to two. You get dinner with the doc.
Wow.
I don't know who the doc is. Let's read a little bit.
Yeah,
let's give you a little bit. It says, Under the Smogberry Trees will be an engaging filmed history of the Dr. Demento Show from its humble start at revolutionary radio station KPPC-FM in Pasadena and up to date at drdemento.com, covering the lasting impact of funny music on popular culture and including current interviews with Dementities, the famous and nearly famous, connected to and or inspired by the show over its 4 decades and counting. So obviously this is a radio show, some sort of comedy music, but check it out, kickstarter.com/projects/smogberrytrees. Right, so that's the feedback for our question. So a lot of Star Trek, One Hobbit, Iron Man 3 and Oblivion. What are you looking forward to this year, John?
After the last trailer, I'm really psyched for Superman.
Yeah, me too. That's my number one on my list. Man of Steel is the film I want to see this year. If I had to forego all other films, I would just wait for that one. Into Darkness, obviously, I'm really, really hyped for.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see that. I would really like to see Iron Man 3, but unfortunately, we had an extravagant month last month. Got my credit card bill a couple of days ago and realised that we spent a lot of money. So I'm not going to be going to see Iron Man 3 this month anyway, maybe next month. Other than that, I'd like to see Oblivion. Probably like to see After Earth, but they're most likely going to be DVD releases for me.
What's you fussed about After Earth? I don't know why.
Well, who's directing that? I can't remember. It's
M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, exactly. That's what's putting me off a bit. But it looks all right. It looks like a decent sci-fi film. It'll probably be okay. I'm not a massive fan of his films.
Starting out well, then we're a bit wobbly.
So that's about it, really. So shall we move on to the section better known as Shitting on Our Youth, or also known as Remakes?
Did I already mention this one or not? Point Break.
No, I don't think you did. I mean, I think we mentioned that Fast and Furious was pretty much a remake of it.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm remembering.
With cars.
Director Erickson Core, who apparently made a film called Invincible with Mark Wahlberg, set to direct the 1991 cult classic Point Break.
Yeah, that is a film that I'm definitely giving a thumbs down to. Because it doesn't need remaking. Point Break is Point Break. It's stupid fun. It's Keanu Reeves being, you know, a slightly older version of his character from Bill and Ted.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, being, you know, not very good on a surfboard, and obviously somebody different surfing every time you see it. But it's a really good film. I really like it.
I have watched it all the way through. I just remember where I watched it. I think, yeah.
I've watched it a number of times. I remember watching it first at a friend's house, and then getting it. I think I actually had it on VHS, as is the way of things. I got rid of all my VHSs. So, yeah, I haven't got it. But I would probably, if I saw that in a bargain bin, I'd be inclined to buy that again. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good film, which is probably why I like Fast and Furious, the first film.
Yeah.
Because it's, like I say, the same film. But, yeah, I don't think it needs remaking. What do you think?
It's just Hollywood being lazy once again. I mean, it's not even going to be surfing this time around. It's going to be international extreme sports.
Yeah, it's going to be, yeah, I saw that. It's going to be like around the world motocross bikes and probably skydiving and probably snowboarding. And I think, you know, rather than remaking Point Break, which is what they're saying they're doing, why not just make it a different film? Make it something else.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter that it's going to be the same story, because, again, Fast and the Furious is the same story. You know, just make it as an extreme sports film and do something a bit different, at least brand it differently. I don't think it needs to be Point Break, the remake. I mean, for starters, the fucking title is a surfing term, Point Break. It's where the fucking waves breaking.
Yeah.
It's at the point in which waves break. I mean,
maybe the first extreme sport will be surfing before moving on to other extreme sports. That's how they're going to, you know, force the title in.
Maybe it'll be the point I actually break and whip out. I actually move to Hollywood and start taking out some of these idiots making these films. Honestly, what's wrong with them? Why would they do that? It's ridiculous.
When I hear point, have you ever watched Robot Chicken?
A little bit, not very much.
There's a brilliant Point Break sketch. I think it's an actual line from the movie, because it's all sketches performed with by stop motion animation toys, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
You see the plane flying through the air, then you see all the characters on board the plane, all of their parachutes on, and I think the line from the film is the Keanu Reeves toy. Says, look, are we going to jump or are we just going to jerk each other off? And they all look at each other. And then it cuts to the outside of the plane again. And you just see the door where they're going to jump out just slide close. And that's the end of the sketch. And I just piss myself every time I see that. I think that's just brilliant.
Presumably I'll be able to find that on YouTube.
You'll find that on YouTube. If I years and years ago, remember when there's going to be that CGI Star Wars funny cartoon?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's... If you can find that article on the website, it's linked in there.
Ah, okay, I'll check that. I think the Robot Chicken stuff looks quite funny. I've seen some of the Star Wars stuff they did, and
yeah, they obviously degrade in quality slightly over the three, but the first one's brilliant.
Right. Okay. Well, Point Break. definitely a thumbs down for me.
Thumbs down.
Mm. So what else are they going to rip the arse out of?
Well, moving on to another tiny update to one of your favourite ones you're looking forward to, the two thumbs up, is the old Ninja Turtles.
All right, okay, yeah.
They've now cast Seinfeld and Mirror Mirror actor Danny Woodburn, who's going to play Splinter.
Is it just Seinfeld? I thought he'd been in something else.
I don't know, that's the notes I've got. I don't recognise the name.
I can't remember. I thought I'd seen him in something else. Interestingly, I don't know whether you saw this, but the title of the film... people were wondering what it's actually going to be called because of the,
yes.
There was a confusion over the alien thing.
Yes.
And would they be Teenage Alien Ninja Turtles or something? But somebody leaked apparently the logo, the actual logo from the film that they're using, and it is the classic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles logo on the manhole cover.
Oh, on the manhole cover as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so it seems to suggest that the alien thing is gone.
It's been gone.
And it's definitely going to be mutants, which I hope is the case.
Well, Danny Woodburn's been sticking up for the film. MTV did a little interview with him recently, and he said, "The frustrating thing for me since I've signed on is that you hear that it's already got a reputation. I think people assume they know what it's going to be about, and those people are wrong. The assumptions, everything you read online is wrong. You want to tell everybody how great it is, and you can't really say why, but it is."
Well, I think the problem is it's Michael Bay. that's the biggest stigma attached to it. People have seen his films, and they know how fucking awful Transformers turned out to be. And is he going to take another franchise that people love and hold dear and fuck it up? We don't want that. I'm not a massive Turtles fan, but I'd like them to keep some of the original storyline. I don't want it to turn out like fucking Transformers did, where none of the Transformers look like they used to, and the Decepticons are just like these weird alien things. They're just all silver. It takes all the personality and all the character out of it. So yeah, I think that's people's fears. It's Michael Bay.
They already started shooting. He says, "We're running around Manhattan, me and Megan Fox, her looking wonderful, me looking like some kind of ant with cameras all over my face."
Megan Fox looking wonderful.
That's a contradictory in terms for you.
Have you ever noticed, it's quite a famous thing, but if you Google, her thumbs are like toes. She's got club thumbs.
Really?
Yeah, really enormous, like, club thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. It's a bit freaky. And she's got bad skin as well. God, I'm so bitchy. Okay. I've been reading Grazia too much, I think. on my Flipboard app, we have the Grazia feed for my wife. And, you know, I like to look at it. Cause,
for the wife. Yeah,
yeah, for the wife. Honest. Yeah, that was quite bitchy. Oh my god, what's wrong with
me? Thumbs down. Moving on.
Oh, I'm still wavering in the middle of the Ninja Turtles. Thumbs down for Grazia, but in the middle for Turtles, because I'm
a bit, until we see the first footage, I don't think you can really make a fair judgment.
Indeed. Right. Okay. What's up?
Charlie Brown's coming back.
I was never into Charlie Brown. Peanuts.
I think it's bigger in America. I don't think it really.
It was always you had the strips in the paper, Peanuts.
Yeah.
And I'd read it and just wouldn't really get it. And that girl was a bitch. She's always picking on Charlie Brown. What form is this going to take? What, an animated movie?
Yeah, 3D animated movie by Blue Sky Studios, the people who brought us Ice Age and Rio.
Oh.
Which isn't. Not promising.
Well, do you not like Ice Age?
They're okay. I wouldn't say they're brilliant or anything. They're okay to good.
I really like them. I haven't seen Rio. My kids have. And the only Ice Age we haven't seen is Ice Age 4. But I really enjoy them. I like them. I actually bought the first one before I had kids for myself.
That's right.
Now the kids have it. They enjoy it.
I must admit, I do love the character Scratch. Always trying to get that nut.
I didn't even know that was his name, but yeah.
I think his name's Scratch. Yeah, I do love those parts.
Yeah, that's a nice little recurring theme. I mean, I don't know, maybe they've ripped the arse out of it by the four. I don't know, probably. But yeah, I thought they were good. But I've no desire whatsoever to see Charlie Brown movie.
Couldn't really, not fast.
Yeah, maybe it's an American thing. I'm giving that a thumbs down.
Yeah. The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Really?
It sounds like this is something they've been trying to get off the ground for a while, because at one point director Steven Soderbergh and George Clooney were attached.
Right.
Well, obviously they've obviously got a bit too early. It's now Tom Cruise and Armie Hammer.
Oh, right, okay, that's a name I keep seeing cropping up all over the place. I don't know why, but it's just one of those names that sticks out.
I think he first came to light as being in the Social Network.
Oh, okay, yeah, I have seen that.
His most recent film is going to be The Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp. He is The Lone Ranger.
That's right, of course, that's where I've seen it recently. I don't really remember The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
That's before my time, really. It's something that the parents would have watched.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I know I've seen it, but I don't really remember it. It was probably on, and just I didn't really pay too much attention to it.
60s spy series, yeah, with Robert Vaughan,
yeah,
and David McCallum.
Oh, and yeah, now you say the names, I do remember it. Yeah, I wouldn't know much about the stories or anything. I wouldn't remember any of the stories.
Being directed by Guy Ritchie, which is not a plus point for me,
I suppose. I mean, he had a little bit of a resurgence with the
Sherlock films.
Sherlock films, yeah, which were filmed not far from. From you in Kent, weren't they?
Chetham Dockyard, yeah.
Chetham Dockyards, that's right. Or parts of them were, anyway. And I thought, from what I've heard, that they were a bit of whether return to form is the right term. Because previously, I think his films that have been hits, like Lock, Stock and Snatch, were his own stories, weren't they? He wrote them.
Yeah, Cockney Landon.
Yeah, I don't mind them. Are you not a fan of those films?
Oh, I like Lock, Stock and Snatch. I love those. We tried watching Sherlock Holmes and we gave up after half an hour.
Okay.
I think they, within that first half hour, there's already two fights with lots of slow motion.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen
the Sherlock Holmes? I've seen the first one, yeah.
So, because every time there's a fight, he punches, he describes what he's doing, doesn't he?
At the beginning he does, yeah. I suppose, he does do that again later on, but I think that's a plot device. It's there for a reason, and you understand why it's like that later on in the film.
Okay.
It's to do with his personality, his control. Is he's always in control of the situation, even when he appears not to be. I think that's the idea behind it.
All right, okay.
I don't know. I'm in the middle on this one, John, because I don't know whether it's a series that will work well as a film.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't remember anything about it, so I'm really not sure. It would be like a new film for me because I never really, ever really saw the original.
Would it just be another spy film? You know, what would make it different?
Wait, was it just a series or was it a film as well?
I don't know. Definitely, obviously a series. I know it's a big series. There's merchandising, wasn't there? There was toys and stuff.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay. Unknown.
Okay. Well, I think we'll have to wait and see on that one, won't we?
Yes. An update on one we mentioned, I think it's the last last movie podcast, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, yes.
It's currently on indefinite hold.
Oh, right, okay.
It's come to a stop. Apparently, the reason behind this is creative differences. Some people want a PG-13, others want an R.
And that's the sticking point.
That's the sticking point. Some, family-friendly or, older kids, rated R comedy like... The Hangover and stuff like that.
Yeah, I wonder what the original films were. They can't have been. They must have been a PG because I went and saw one of them when I was a kid at the cinema without parents. So I think maybe they should stick with that. That sort of rating. I think they should go with that sort of rating and make it appeal to a wider audience. I think if you make it, for too much of a mature audience, then you're limiting your audience.
I mean, an R-rated comedy doesn't sound right for a National Lampoon film, does it? That sounds too much.
For families with older kids, I think that is the sort of film you can sit down and watch, and there's jokes for the kids and there's jokes for the adults in it.
Yeah, and an R-rated movie, that means you can go with a parent, doesn't it?
I don't really know I don't know the American.
I think it does. I think the other one they have is NC-17, which means you have to be over 17 to see it.
Oh, I see, okay.
I think R-rated just means you can go with a parent. I think that's what it means.
Right.
Someone can always correct us on this.
Because I think R-rating, and I think it's equivalent to an 18 here, but I think you're right. I think you are right.
They don't seem to have middle ground, do they?
No.
They have PG-13 or R.
I don't know. But anyway, keep it. I'd say keep it open to as wide an audience as possible, even if it means you can't make such rude jokes. That's my thoughts. But anyway, it's on hold, so who gives a fuck?
Yeah. No thumb applied.
No thumb applied. Thumb up my arse for this one.
Oh, thank God it's not a video podcast.
Indeed. What else have we got?
Okay, the final one in the remake section is one that I am very annoyed about, Weird Science.
Oh, yes. Why?
I love the original Weird Science. I don't know why. It's a film that my cousin showed me. He talked about it for a while, then he lent me the tape, and I watched it. I don't know why. Something about it I just love. It's just a great...
Kelly LeBrock probably had something to do with that.
Didn't
every teenage boy fall in love with Kelly LeBrock in that film?
She's all right.
No, that is the answer. Just you, Will, would be the answer. Yeah, I thought she was all right in that. Yeah, not so much these days.
A young Robert Downey Jr. and Bill Paxton as well.
Yeah, there is. It's not. Is that a John Hughes film?
Yes, it is. It's set in Shermer, Illinois, I think.
Right, okay. The famous Shermer, Illinois. From, Jay and Silent Bob remark on that, don't they? It doesn't actually exist. Actually, I don't know whether he wrote or just directed that. The missus and I had a John Hughes marathon not that long ago.
All right.
And we watched a lot of the films, but that's not one that we actually watched. We've got it. It's in the box sets, but I'm not sure whether it's a box set from that era or whether it's a box set of his films, because we got two box sets. One of them is a John Hughes box set, and the other one is just that sort of Brat Pack movies.
All right, okay.
I'm just desperately looking it up. Weird Science was directed and written by John Hughes. Yeah, I've just checked it on the IMDb.
Always handy IMDb.
IMDb. Since we're on a subject, I found out last week or the week before, probably the week before. My wife casually comes out with, "Oh, I'm on IMDb." Oh. Are you? We've only been together 9 years. I don't know why you'd mention that. Yeah, she's on IMDb with a writer's credit for a short film she wrote.
Did she put that under herself? No. Or did she's always discover herself on there one day?
I think this is why it's only just come up. I think she only just found out that she's on there. And one of the actors that was in the film, I think, has put it on or is at least linked to that film. But no, she didn't put it on herself. Somebody else put it on.
Okay.
But that's quite cool. Yeah, I'd much rather somebody else put it on than you put it on yourself.
Yeah, playing your own trumpet.
Yeah, but there you go. I think that's quite an achievement to be on IMDb.
Was she got the profile photo and everything?
No. It's literally just her name and the film she's attached to. But she's the only one on there with that name. I'm not going to give her name out because that'd be a bit weird. And she doesn't share the same last name as me, even though we're married. So that scuppers anybody, unless they got me as friends on Facebook. Off topic. Weird Science, I'm giving that a thumbs down. Big thumbs down. Because that does not need remaking either. It's literally just like, right, we've got a big book of old films. Flip the pages, put a pin in. Right, we're going to make Weird Science.
And it's heading for it. They want it to be sort of an R-rated comedy as well.
Right.
Which sounds, we've just discussed this.
It'll probably work, but for a younger audience, people of our age that remember the first one will be devastated and appalled.
Yeah, but I mean, the only thing that I'm interested in is how they're going to make the girl. I mean, back in the 80s when technology was new, scanning in pictures of legs that turn into three-dimensional models on the computers to help you build a woman. Yeah. That's not really going to work these days. It's not an app for that.
No. No, I'm sure Apple are working on that. Yeah, I don't know.
My girlfriend.
I don't know. It'll be some experiment or some, I don't know. God knows. I don't know. But yes, they will have to update it and it will be terrible.
Your turn for a section, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be fun. It may not be. I thought it interesting would be a better way of saying it. If we looked at the box office top 10 for different countries around the world, and we'll do a different one each news episode that we do.
Interesting.
And so I thought, yeah, we'll start. We'll keep it simple. We'll start with the UK, our home, our homeland. And I've discovered that the BFI, the British Film Institute, do a wonderful spreadsheet of all things in Excel with lots of interesting facts. Now, it's not because we're recording on a Friday evening. It's not entirely up to date. It's last weekend's box office takings, basically.
Yeah.
Which these things are based upon. But I thought we'd start from 10 and work up to 1 and then look at some of the other films that are floating around that maybe people haven't heard of, haven't come across, that are in their, you know, other openers and films of interest.
Or just scream out things like, people are watching that?
There's a film called That is one of the things that it instantly sprung to mind. But let's look at the top 10 first. And in,
okay.
We could do it in old Top of the Pop style. In a 10. Oz the Great and the Powerful. A Disney film. Oh. Total gross so far has been 14,886,744. Wow. Which doesn't sound a great deal to me. 14 million.
No, but I think what people have to realise, UK is considerably smaller than something like the US.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it's going to make its money back in the US.
Yeah, so the numbers don't always sound impressive, unfortunately, when you look at UK totals.
No, I mean, you think 14 million, you think, God, it's not... I mean, it's easy just to think, well, that's what it's taken in total. Obviously, you have to take into account the global market. But yeah, it doesn't seem like a big, you know, the film itself, probably the marketing budget for that film was bigger than that take. Probably.
Yeah.
But okay, that
sounds true.
So that's a US film. In at 9 is Jack the Giant Slayer, which it looks all right. It's a Warner Brothers film. It's a UK and US film of origin, apparently, a country of origin for that film. I didn't realise there was a UK part to that. Yeah, so Warner Brothers. Number 8, G.I. Joe Retaliation. I'm quite shocked that it's actually in the top 10 in the UK box office.
Big American movie, isn't it?
I don't think it really translates to the UK market, because we never really had G.I. Joe.
We never had G.I. Joe, but on the other hand, it's big American stars blowing things out with big guns.
I guess so. And it's got Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it, hasn't it? But that's been out for 4 weeks in the box office, and per site that makes an average of £581. In at 7 is Love Is All You Need, which I believe it's a debut last weekend, and I think it looks like a pile of shit. But country of origin, this is interesting: Denmark, Sweden, Italy, France and Germany.
Okay, so it's a Euro film.
It's a European film.
Is it foreign? Does it say it's actually foreign language?
I don't believe it is. No, I think it, well, I don't know for sure. I don't know, but I know nothing about it at all. But yeah, in its opening weekend, it took 202,176. But that's a site average of 1,543 in 131 cinemas. So I guess that's what it's worked on. This top 10 seems to be the most sales or most revenue given the number of sites, the average.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Which seems a weird way of doing it rather than total gross.
A film like that doesn't get knocked out of the top 10 then, because it's only on at 131 cinemas and doesn't make that much money.
Yeah, whereas the next movie, Scary Movie 5, if you can believe they've made such a thing.
Oh, no. Well, unfortunately they've made it. Secondly, I can't believe people are paying to see it.
Well, it seems so, and that's on at 409 cinemas with a site average of £1,108. That's in its second week of release. And so far, it's made £1,983,601.
If you keep paying these people, they will make more.
Yeah, stop it.
Stop it.
Fucking idiots. So the whole top five country of origin, they're all from the USA, which is not surprising, really. Number 5 is a film I don't know a thing about. It's a Studio Canal distributed film, USA country of origin. It's in 181 cinemas with a site average of £3,209. The film is The Place Beyond the Pines. It's in its second week of release. Any idea what that is?
Huh?
The Place Beyond the Pines.
I've heard the name recently. I can't remember who's in it.
It's supposed to be quite good, isn't it? Is Pierce Brosnan in that?
Yeah, I think he is. I just read something again on Empire magazine. Yeah.
And apparently he puts in a good performance, which again I found difficult to believe, but I'm not a big Pierce Brosnan fan. In fourth place in the UK box office at the cinema is The Crood, which I suppose is doing well because it was recently the Easter break and parents will have shoved their kids in a cinema just to keep them quiet for a couple of hours.
And thanks to them, they can watch the sequel as well.
Oh, really? There's going to be one?
I think it's got the go-ahead for another one. Obviously, the money level's coming at the right amount.
It's been out for 5 weeks, and so far, it's made a total of £23,748,531. Which is quite a phenomenal take. It's the biggest take in the top 15 of the UK box office in total.
Blimey.
At number 3, I'm almost scared to say it, It's another Studio Canal distributed film.
You got something against them?
No, not at all. No, I just find it interesting that Studio Canal actually distribute quite a lot of films, more than I expected.
All right.
It was in its first week in the cinemas. It's at 394 cinemas countrywide. It makes a site average of 3,492.
Getting a big build up.
It's made today in its first week 1,375,842. Do you know what it is?
No, I'm kind of dreading it now.
Evil Dead.
Ah! Forgotten about that.
Yeah, Evil Dead, number 3 in the box office. Mixed reviews on that, I think. I don't know, it is a much more serious film. It's not comedic. That's been confirmed by people that have seen it.
If people are going to go see it, stay until the end credits. There's a little cameo piece at the very end.
Oh, well, yeah, there's a teaser for people that go and see it. In number 2, Oblivion. Yeah. With Thomas Cruise. In total, it's made over 8 million in 2 weeks.
I've been hearing it's a very good film, but on the other hand, it's safe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's just a Tom Cruise play it safe film. So, yeah, 528 cinemas. I think that's the most cinemas in the UK. The film that's in the most cinemas in the top 15. And it makes on average about £3,000 per site. And number one. And I'm surprised that this is number one. Olympus Has Fallen.
Right,
which is that film about...
Under Siege White House edition, isn't it, or something?
Pretty much, yeah. It's
isn't there two very similar movies? There's Olympus Has Fallen, there's something else. Past.
I heard it,
moving on.
I heard it compared to Die Hard.
All right.
Was there's Special Forces or Ex-Special Forces... guy who's got to get home to see his family, but he gets caught up in all of this, and he's the radio contact, and he's got to take people out from the inside.
Sounds very hard-ish.
Yeah, one actor plays the president, but he is taken hostage, so Morgan Freeman has to play acting president, but of course he's already played the president in another film, so it wasn't much for him to act as the president. Yeah, so that's a Lionsgate film. That was its first week of release. It made £2,247,900, and that's a site average over 453 cinemas of 4,962 pounds.
Wow.
Yes, so there we go. That's the UK box office top 10, and that's weekend 19th of April to 21st of April. Interesting stuff. Now, other UK films that are out, and this is just UK films. Good Vibrations, never heard of it.
No.
Cloud Atlas is a joint UK and US film, didn't know that.
Is that out of the cinema now, just come out?
Well, Cloud Atlas?
Yeah.
No, it's been out a while. It's been in the cinema for 9 weeks now. It's still showing in 15 cinemas, it's 33 in the UK box office. Other films that have been out for a while, Les Mis is still out. There's a film called The Spirit of 45. Never heard of that.
Baseball movie.
Is it? It's a UK film, which is weird. Papadopoulos and Sons. Never heard of that. Song for Marion. Flying Blind. Amazingly, Skyfall is still in cinemas. Two cinemas.
Really?
Two cinemas in the country.
Oh, two cinemas, okay.
Made £669, though, over those two cinemas.
Some DVD and Blu-ray people.
It's been out for 26 weeks now in the cinema. It's number 67 in the box office. Broken, still there. Shell, never heard of that. All Things to Men. Other opening films, and this is one that I was a bit like, what? There's a film out called Fuck for Forest.
Okay.
It's a joint Polish and German film distributed by Dogwoof. It's in three cinemas, and it made £312. What's the average price of a cinema ticket? It's about, what, £8?
About £8, I'd say.
I'll let other people do the maths. So that's about it, really. Nothing else. Bait 3D, which is dog shit, apparently. It's an Australian film where there's a tsunami. People are trapped in like a supermarket where the water level's rising, and sharks come on land because of the rising water levels and attack people. Sounds good, huh?
Sorry, what? Did I just dream that?
I'm afraid not, no.
Jesus.
There we go. That's Well, there we go. We've got that to look forward to. Anyway, okay, well, maybe we'll make it a bit shorter in future episodes, but we'll take another look. Maybe we'll do the US box office next time, maybe Canada after that, and then go a little bit diverse, look at some European countries, if I can get the stats. So we should probably move on to our final section, which is sequels and prequels.
Ben Stiller's got a scriptwriter to write a sequel for Dodgeball.
Really?
Yeah, I remember Vince Vaughn played the slacker owner of a rundown gym who fights against Ben Stiller's character with the gym opposite. Apparently they're going to have to join forces to defeat a bigger threat. That's the. It's just, it doesn't sound very original, does it?
It doesn't sound promising. But, I don't suppose it's supposed to be high art, is it?
It's Ben Stiller comedy.
It is what it is. And
I say we could do with a good Ben Stiller comedy, because nothing he's been in recently has made me laugh.
No. Dodgeball was entertaining enough. It was all right.
I do like Dodgeball. Dodgeball's brilliant, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You watch it once or twice, it's funny, but you don't go back to it too many times.
Something I didn't realise in my notes is that Dodgeball was made for just $20 million. And I presume it's the US domestic numbers. It grossed more than 114.
Good return on that.
Yeah, so no wonder they've gone, oh, do another one, Ben.
Yeah, you could have another 10 million. 30 million. I mean,
30 million. 35, pushing.
You can see. I mean, you don't need a big budget for that kind of film, do you?
No.
There's the guy from Firefly was in that, wasn't it? The pilot from Firefly. He was...
Alan... I don't know how you pronounce his name. Alan Tudyk?
Yeah, something like that. He was the pirate guy, wasn't he? Arr!
Yeah, that's right.
Who I thought was a pretty shit character, to be honest. I didn't enjoy him. But I enjoyed him in Firefly. So everything's okay. Okay, well, Dodgeball 2, I'm afraid, gets a thumbs down from me.
I'm going to put his thumbs halfway.
Okay. Oh, a difference of opinion. I like that. What else have we got?
Something which to me sounds a bit like a desperate director trying to get some work. John McNaughton, who directed Wild Things, wants to make a sequel. I don't know if you remember Wild Things.
I remember one scene in Wild Things.
I think that's what's going to come on to. I think that's what most people remember about. Is it Neve Campbell and Denise Richards having a bit of a snog?
Oh, no, it was that. Of course it was.
It was those two,
wasn't it? Well, it was definitely Neve Campbell. I don't know who the other actress was, but I'm sure you're right. Yes, that was the highlight of the film. I don't think I watched any other part of the film, to be honest. I probably only watched that on YouTube. You know, because when people talk about things, you have to investigate. It might be a story for the website, even though it was long before the website existed. Okay, well, again, I'm thumbs down, I'm afraid, because I'm not...
I mean, the film had two direct-to-DVD sequels.
Did it?
Yeah.
What, is this going to be a sequel to the first or a sequel to the third?
Well, I won't go into plot details because they're boring, but it's basically the characters in the original film is to do with their sons and daughters.
God.
I mean, the end notes say the story doesn't have a studio, distributor or cast. It sounds like wishful thinking, really.
Yeah, probably never happened. Okay, well, there's hope.
thumbs trying to push its way through the floor on that one. Something Disney recently announced, it could be worrying, is we're going to have a Star Wars film every year, starting 2015.
Yeah. Is that indefinitely? For the rest of our lives?
Oh, that would be a big commitment.
Or is that another trilogy, like one every year?
It's going to be, we're going to have the new trilogy, starting with episode 7.
Yeah.
And then for at least the two years in between the gaps, there's going to be, you know, two standalone movies.
Yeah, so character movies, I suppose. One,
yes.
Boba Fett movie. I mean, the Boba Fett movie sounds quite interesting. Fans would definitely go for that, as long as it's done well. Yeah, I don't see any reason why they can't do that. I mean, yeah, I'm a little bit past Star Wars. I'm a little bit over it. I'm not enthusiastic about the new trilogy, the final trilogy. But I can see how those standalone movies would be interesting. And I don't know, maybe once the hype kicks in and we're having a poster a day for 3 months and maybe the excitement will rise again. I mean, there's no doubt I'll go and see episode 7 at the cinema out of curiosity. But if it's shit, then that's kind of the series on the head. I will leave it there. But I can't see it being shit. I think Disney will do something wonderful with it. They're bound to make it a really good film and... it won't have any bearing on what we remember as Star Wars, the original trilogy. I mean, it's so disjointed, and that's, I guess it's the, I don't know, the obsessive compulsive in me that likes everything to be neat and organised, and and you know, if you're going to have a series of things, they've got to fit together, and there's such a disjoint now. You've got the original trilogy that we know, you've got the prequel trilogy, which is a bit more updated, the final trilogy, which is going to be far beyond that even, and it's just it becomes a really disjointed odd body of work, and it bothers me. I kind of wish they'd just leave it alone now, but they're not going to, so let's go with it, and a Boba Fett film would be fucking awesome. So I'm wavering really badly on that one. I'm on the fence, and no matter how hard I try and fall off, I can't. I'm held up by gravity's, I don't know, magnetic gravity or something. There's something holding me on the right in the middle of the fence, and I can't move either way.
The force.
That's right. Indeed. Okay. What else?
Okay, finally, it looks like we're going to get two movies related to The Shining, one being a prequel and one being a sequel.
Weird. So two companies?
Yeah, Warner Brothers are moving ahead to make a prequel, and they've hired Glenn Mazzara to help bring it together, and it's been called The Overlook Hotel. Glenn Mazzara was recently one of the people, sort of the top people working on The Walking Dead.
All right, okay.
That's all about all the news we have so far. And then, but as part of this story, I didn't realise that Stephen King has actually written a sequel called Doctor Sleep.
All right, okay.
The date vanished from his website, and people are eagerly waiting the story. The synopsis is sort of a middle-aged Dan Torrance, who's the little boy from The Shining, and a 12-year-old girl called Abra Stone, that he must save from the True Knot. The True Knot are a group of almost immortal travellers who cross the country, feeding off children with the gift of The Shining. Dan drifted for decades in an attempt to escape his father's legacy, but eventually settled in New Hampshire town and works in a nursing home where his remnant mental abilities provide comfort to the dying. This just makes me laugh. I can't read it properly. With the aid of a cat that can foresee the future, Dan becomes Dr. Sleep. I'm sure that all makes sense in the book, but when you read that out loud,
let's just go back a little bit. With the aid of a cat,
they can foresee the future.
Wow!
But how would you? Well, I suppose he can talk telepathetically to the cat. Otherwise, you know, the cat doesn't have like a misty look in its eyes, and the cat just goes meow.
I'll be honest, I've not seen The Shining. It's probably quite a glaring omission from my viewing history.
I've watched large chunks of it myself, but I don't think I've actually sort of sat down to intentionally watch it all the way through. It
sounds weird. I don't know. But so they're battling out to one to make the prequel, one to make a sequel.
Yeah. So the novel's not being released yet, but it sounds like that they're already trying to get that off the ground, running into a film as well.
Right. Okay. Well, why not? I suppose they're thinking ahead, aren't they?
Yeah.
Make a prequel and then make the sequel. Nice little money spinner. Yeah, we'll be talking about it on our box office top 10 at some point.
Probably, yeah.
From Lithuania. I am going to try and find really obscure countries and see what's in the top 10. The problem is we won't know any of the films, and I won't be able to pronounce any of them.
Yeah. You're sitting there on Google saying, hey, wait a minute, let me try and find out what this is about.
Indeed. Right, okay, well, gosh, that was a monster show. So I hope people appreciate the efforts that's gone in, and you know, listener feedback is always welcome. Tell us what you think of the show, tell us what you'd like to hear, tell us what you'd like us to improve on, and I doubt there'll be much, because yeah, we're already pretty good, I think. So yeah, do hit us up on Twitter. Again, it's Johnny's at UK Film Nerd. I am at The Unheard Nerd. You can get us on facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd, on Google Plus, just search for us, or go to our website and you can find all our social media links in a nice little widget in the top right hand corner. Of course, don't forget to comment on the post on the website, it's TheUnheardNerd.com. John, it's been a mammoth one, but it's been pleasurable.
As always.
It's taken me about 3 weeks to edit, and people should hear about this in about 3 weeks. So thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Go watch a film.
The Unheard Nerd podcasts are available to subscribe to on iTunes and to stream on your Stitcher-enabled device. Download the app from your app store for Apple and Android devices. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and feel free to contact us on Twitter, Facebook, and via the website, theunheardnerd.com. I am the Unheard Nerd on board computer. Logging off. I am so lonely.